Well, good morning again. You know, it's really good to be back with you guys. We missed like a whole week, and I was wondering how it was going and all of that. So it's really good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you. And a lot of people have been gone, and your family's doing well. Your son, did he get his job? Not yet.
Not a lead, but.
Okay. Yeah, we'll trust God for all of that. God is so good. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel. Talk about the commission that God has given to us, the Great Commission it's known as. Matthew 28, starting in verse 16, says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them." If you look at verse 10, Jesus gave instructions to this, to the lady, the woman that met him and worshiped him. And this is what he said. Jesus said to the ladies, he says, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So the Lord gave instructions here, and the disciples went. Verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," he says, "all authority." Oh, I'm sorry, verse 17. I don't want to skip that one. That's a good one. "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would just bless your word this morning. Lord, that we would touch our hearts, instruct us in the ways that you want us to work and how to minister to one another and to others that are outside of the family. Help us to love, to serve them as you would serve them. So Lord, thank you for your insight, your understanding, and all that we do and all that you lead us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 16, it says, they were appointed a place to go. You know, we all need to be in that appointed place for the Lord. There is an appointed place. It's like this morning, we're appointed. We need to be here to hear God's word preached and shared, to have fellowship with one another. At home, we need our quiet times with the Lord, where we can study his word, where we can pray, where we can meditate, and that his presence would be revealed at that time to build us up and even to instruct us at the same time. But you know, that's physical. We need that physical place. But there's also a spiritual place that we need to meet him. It's an appointed place. And we receive a lot of that in our quiet times. But we really need that spiritual aspect of it. And so let's look at the reason why we need a lot of that. So the appointed place, a spiritual place, is one of faith, obedience, readiness, and even expectation. So it's a preparation time that we need for our heart. We do need desperate preparation for our hearts. 1 Corinthians 13, 7 through 8 says that we are to bear all, our love rather bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things. Love never fails. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to endure. You know, you do something good. You even give what you need sometimes to help someone else, and there's no appreciation, no understanding, no consideration. It's like, oh, okay. And sometimes they don't even say thanks. And that hurts. At least you could appreciate, you know, say thanks, even if it doesn't mean anything to you. It's better than nothing. So it's hard for me. See, I've got to meet with God. I need to be in that special place spiritually. I've got to have my heart worked on so then I can endure that kind of thing. You know, we went to, with Dakota and visited the homeless. I don't know how many, what was there, 50, 40, 50? I don't know. They were all over. Oh, okay. I didn't count. But we would take, the main thing they wanted was water. So we had cases of water that we loaded in his truck. We had bought and loaded in the truck, took down there along with snacks. They bagged up different things so they could just hand it out to people, because a lot of them would come up to the truck. There was others that were way back off somewhere under bridges or next to bridges. And we would carry everything over there because we couldn't drive to where they were. And we would hand stuff out, and some of them would say, God bless, you know, they were excited to get that. But there's others that would just, they didn't seem to care. You know, it's, I guess the heart attitude was just quite different. It's like they're in survival mode for the most part. You know, no place to go. The police had just rousted all of them out of where they were encamped. You know, some were under different bridges and different things. And so a lot of them were just on the street. And there was just like a half a mile of them on the street, lay in the sun. And it was high, like 75, 70 something degrees. And they're out there laying in the sun. But so their attitude was, it was an attitude of like a hopelessness. You know, they had their own little community, and most of them looked after each other and, you know, were very considerate. And there were others that just kind of took advantage and all that different thing. So I always looked at, what is really in their heart? What's going on with them? And I think a lot of it was that they didn't feel any worth. They didn't feel that anybody really cared about them. And because of that, a lot of them just gave up. And then I met Dakota's special friend that the Lord led him to. His name is Richard. Richard was probably in his early 60s, maybe. So I got a chance to talk with Richard. And he was telling me a story. I said, Richard, when did all this start? Why did this happen? What's going on here? And Richard said, well, he says, I was at work, and our home caught on fire. Now, he's had three children. Two are grown, a son and a daughter. He said his wife was home with his seven-year-old son. And the fire just kind of took off in the house, And it killed both of them. And so you said he just kind of gave up, he blamed God, just anger. And he went on the street and had lived there since. And I got to share a little bit. But see, you got to be careful when you share, because they really don't want to hear it. Because you've got all of these people that have come down before and who passed out water and gave them goodies and sandwiches and different things. But then it's like they had to listen to them because they had an agenda. And see, that's what I want to talk to us about, our agenda. What our agenda in serving the Lord. And what happens with that agenda is if people don't respond the way we hope that they would, we give up. We quit ministering. And so these people are sitting there wondering how long we're going to minister. How long will we really be there? You know, because they know that most people don't really care. Can you imagine a police going down and like Richard was under a bridge, had a little tent that Dakota bought for him, and the police go down there, write him a ticket. Now he's got to appear in court next week, I think, or later this week. I'm not sure. Next week. And it's like, all right, what are you going to get from him? You're going to fine him, take money? No, you just have to put him in jail. At least that'd be a better place to live. He'd be able to shower, and he might be safer than what he's doing. But, yeah, so they said, all right, you got to get out from under the bridge, move your tent. You got 5 minutes or 15 minutes to do all of that. And so he's moving everything out from under the bridge. Well, now he's out in the open. Where are they going to go? You know what I'm saying? So they got the idea, nobody cares. You know, if the police tell you to go and get out from under the bridge where you're just trying to survive and there's nowhere else to go, now they have to just go to the street. So it's like, maybe you ought to find a place where they can go instead of just throwing them out and writing them tickets. So there's a lot of things going on. And so a lot of times with those that are trying to minister, like I say, their hearts get cold for them. And they just throw them away. And that's why we've got to have our heart worked on. See, we've got to learn to endure. Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it like, I just want to share and win people to Jesus? Well, yeah, that's all of our desires and our hope. We all want to do that. But what Jesus is wanting us to do, and the Lord showed me this and had to deal with me on it, is that your agenda should be to love people and then trust God with the results. Not to have an agenda of things got to happen your way. It's like endure, knowing that they're going through hardships, knowing that they've been rejected, knowing that nobody really cares whether they live or die. But see, God does. Like Richard said to me and several others as we passed out things, they would say, why are you doing this? Why? Why do you care? See, we treated them like people. We cared. Honestly, we cared about them. And we had no hidden agendas other than to take care of their needs at that time. And so they would say, why are you different? Why are you doing this? And what I said to Richard when he asked me, I said, Richard, see, Dakota bought him shoes, bought him pants, bought him a shirt, bought him jacket, a tent, and then supplied him with food. Taking him water, meeting with him. Even he told me last night as we talked that he picked up Richard and took him to town to a nice restaurant and bought him a meal, and they sat there and had dinner together. And he told Dakota, he said, "This is the nicest thing anybody's ever done for me." That they would sit down and eat with me. And see, that's what we did with the Lord's Supper, and that's how it should be. We sat down to eat with Jesus this morning. Just to remember him. To be with him and to thank him for what he's done for us. Since then, Richard called Dakota, got a hold of the phone, called Dakota. And I think he's staying in a motel now. Him and another guy are in a motel. And he had some money that was sent to his bank account, but never could draw it out because he didn't have any ID. There was just no way. He just kind of knew where the bank was. Anyway, Dakota helped him with all of that. They contacted the bank. The bank mailed him, sent him a cashier's check. But before they couldn't send it, because he didn't have an address. What's he gonna, I'm under number two bridge. You know what I mean? So now he had Dakota's address and they mailed it to him. He then gave it to him. They went to a different bank and now he's got an account. So him and this guy that they're bunking with in this motel is each of them, one pays one day, one pays the next day. Now, because of what Dakota's done, 1 out of 100 so far, and Dakota said if it's just one, it's worth it. Just one. Richard called him and says, "Dakota, I don't want you to buy me any more stuff." He said, "I thank you for everything you've done. I don't want you to buy any more stuff. I don't want you doing the things that you're doing for me." He said, "What I want is I just want your friendship. It's all I want." And he says, "I want you to teach me this." He said, "I want you to teach me that I have worth, that God really loves me, and that he cares." He said, "That's all I want from you. That's all I want," he said, "because I've never cared. I've never seen any worth within myself." And he says, "But you've shown me that, and you've always told me that when you visited with me and said, I didn't understand it. And at first I wouldn't receive it. But," he says, "now I'm starting to see." And he says, "I want to know more." So Dakota's going to pick him up again probably first part of next week, and he's going to take him back out to dinner so they can sit down and talk and fellowship. You see, this is what God wants. This is how love works. That we have compassion for one another. You know, and even here in the church, you know, I preach a lot of things because what God is leading me to share with you are things that will help you if you do it. You know, but if you don't do it, I still love you, and God still loves you. I'm not up here to be a rule master, to condemn because somebody might not do or believe the way I do. God just called me to share, to love you. I like what Paul said, I believe it was in with the Philippians. Let me see. Yeah, it was Philippians. Paul's prayer, Philippians 1, 9 through 10. Paul prays that the love of the Philippians may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so they may discern what is best. And so this is showing, Paul is showing here the importance of seeking God's guidance in our love for others. Folks, we need to love people. And one point he says, yes, I see all that you're going through and I'm sharing the gospel and all this. But he says it's become more than me just being a teacher. I'm using my words, okay? It's not exactly how scripture reads. But in essence, he's sharing, I'm sharing you the love of Christ, the knowledge, the insight to the word of God to change your lives. And he says, I know you're suffering a lot of things. But he says, I've become not only your teacher, but he says, I've become part of you, even unto death. Now, folks, that's what you're looking for in a pastor. Right now, I know what my position is, and y'all have let me into your hearts, and I appreciate that. And you're allowing me to share a little more insight with you. And I'm so appreciative and thankful for that. But see, mainly what you were looking for at the time was just somebody to preach on Sundays. And it's like, that's okay. I'll fill in. I'll do whatever God wants me to do to help you. And so it doesn't hurt my feelings. But see, you want more than that in a pastor. You want one that's going to love you, that's going to have your heart, that when you hurt, he hurts. And he's going to be to the place that when bad things come about, he's going to be in the middle of it to try to protect you and to deliver you out of it. That's what kind of pastor you need, one that's going to die for you if need be. That's a shepherd. Jesus said there's a lot of hirelings. And when the wolves come and the enemy comes to try to steal and destroy, he says they run because they don't have anything invested. But see, you want a pastor with that heart. He's in that place, that spiritual place, that his heart's on fire, not only for God, but for you, for your protection, for your guidance. You don't want a pastor just to preach on Sundays. Man, you can go on the internet and get something better than any of us could do. Amen? But folks, we've got to have our hearts changed. I know I had a different, all this written out, but I know I didn't have time for it. So I just want to throw out a bunch of things and hope something sticks, right? But get rid of your agendas. Just get to where, God, teach me just how to love and have compassion for your people. And that's how Jesus went. And that's how God was. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That if we would just believe. See, God really didn't have an agenda as such. It was love. So read 1 Corinthians 13. Can you endure? Can you take the hardships when somebody takes something from you and then slams a door in your face? It's hard. And it's going to be hard. That's why we got to prepare our heart. And so when we go out, yes, we want to share Jesus, but the main thing is you go out and you show the love of God. And that's why I even told Richard before. I said, Richard, God's not your problem. I said, you can't blame God for what's happened. And Richard looked at me and he said, you know, I really did blame God. But he says, you're right. God is not my problem. We want to share God's love, but the best way, folks, if we get rid of our agendas and we just go and love. People know the difference, especially the homeless. They see the agenda and they hate it, as we would. They want to see pure love. Folks, I just want to say I really care for you guys. And if you got a pastor, next week would be great. One that truly loved you, because I would look at that and I would have to open my big mouth and say, hey, that's not the one. Even if you hated me for it, because I care. And I'm here unselfishly to serve God and to serve you. And I love it. I want you blessed as God wants you blessed. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Lord, help us to get rid of the agendas and help us to just love you and therefore love others. Thank you so much for that love, your compassion. Father, I now read and say this blessing over your people that I know you hear. You've even protected us through this ice storm. We could have had trees falling on our houses and on us. But Lord, you preserved us. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.